God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Spoke, he said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Where were you when you saw that the missiles were going to begin flying into Israel? I learned about it through a friend of mine who's retired from Special Forces. And he sent me a note a couple hours before the media started to report this. It said that the drones were going to begin to fly. The flight time would be about 8 hours. And later he sent me a note that said confirmed. And when this is happening to Israel, it's, well, happening to God's people. I mean, God created all of us. He loves us all. And you who are biblically alert, because many people are not, in fact, most people in America are not, understand that Satan would love to see Israel wiped off the map. He'd love to see all Jewish people killed. He'd love to have God break his promise. Well, God will not break his promise. And it's fascinating to look at some of the aspects now of the Middle East. You had an unnamed royal family official from Saudi Arabia say that Iran has orchestrated these attacks to try to stop the normalization of relations with Israel. Well, that's quite a thing to state out loud. They also referred to Iran as a country that just sponsors terrorism. They do. Iran is working to encircle Israel from all sides. I think that people sometimes confuse my statements of what I see as a reality, that right now Israel is bowed to the sexual left, and they have bowed to the sexual left. They have bowed to Big Pharma in a grotesque way, utterly grotesque, what they did to people with the injections in Israel, to somehow communicate confusion as to how God has made a promise to the people of Israel. I'm not confused. At least I don't think I am. I can look with sober eyes at the government of Israel and understand that it's run by people and therefore will be flawed. And therefore, I think we should speak openly of that. But to say that this is somehow not a support for God's covenant, no, far from it. It is God's covenant I support because the Lord Jesus made a new covenant with us. It's sequential. You have to support one to support the other. Where I am becoming increasingly frustrated and increasingly worried is my view of war and how it's changed. And it's the killing of God's people that as a discipled Christian now so deeply bothers me. It's always has. I mean, there's always been this notion and that war is, you know, hell, they say, and I've not fought one, so I don't know, but it seems to me it would be. But maybe it's being discipled, that thinking a little bit like God, that you're going to kill, my children are killing each other again. That's part of it for sure. But I harp on this because to me, it is the single most unconscionable thing I can imagine, that we are funding both sides. I've yet to have anyone explain to me how this makes any sense other than for arms dealers. I cannot find a way around it. This is evil. I stand with Israel. In comparison to Iran, are you kidding? And what that regime does to humans, what that regime intends for us, what that regime intends to do to all Jewish people. Because remember, they've killed Jewish people who aren't Israeli. I have clear-eyed. Israel is our one sole true ally in that region. And of course, we'll talk about this tomorrow. The continuing degradation of Mike Johnson just now. He just said he's going to get a combined Israel and Ukraine bill ready to go because they're one and the same, and yet they're not. We'll talk in detail tomorrow about some friends of ours who are in Israel and how that hit me. You've seen the disruption around the country and around the world of pro-Hamas demonstrators and now pro-Iran demonstrators. At Chicago's O'Hare Airport, they decided to block the airport entrance so people had to walk dangerously, I would add, into the airport to make their flights. Never confuse someone's dedication to a cause with being smart. That's not smart. It will not bring anybody to their side. And in that way, thank God. Thank God. Thank God that few lives were lost in comparison to the number of missiles that were fired. Thank God for that. One of the downfalls that's happening to this nation on purpose is the creation of countries within countries. There are people in our country who cheer when America is harmed. There are people in our country who are taking the side of Iran, which is pledged at the government level, at the government level, at the theocracy level. They're pledged to wipe us out too. And yet, courtesy of, you could say, insanity, except it's far too much of a plan. The open borders plan, we see this. This is what it looks like when our open borders policies create nations within nations and within our nation. Pro-Hamas demonstrators cheer the attack on Israel.
Hands off Iran! 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 Hands off Iran!
Hands off Iran. They would like the Islamists to win. Just reading and catching up on a friend of mine who is a talk show host in Seattle. He's Jewish and very on top of these issues. Iran has now said that they're going to put to death anyone who criticizes some of their failed missile launches. Can't go around talking about mistakes. People who take the point of view that Iran should win and they're in the United States means they don't know this, but it means Iran should come and kill them. That's what it means. There's a confusion, but it's not on our side. And I think again of God. He knows all things. He knows what's to come to pass. He knows how it ends. And he hurts. You know that short phrase from the Bible, Jesus wept. Gosh, there's so much in that. If I was a pastor, I think I could do a sermon on that phrase, Jesus wept. If I was a pastor, I think I could talk about all the aspects to that. Weeping that, wait, you don't yet know. I am the way and the life. You don't know that yet? You don't trust me? You've seen all of these things, all of these signs that I told you I would do and I did, and you don't trust me. You don't think I can overcome death. Or Jesus standing there smelling the stench of death. This is not how I designed things. I did not want this. I didn't want tombs and decaying human bodies. He could be weeping because he knew, standing around him. There were people who were going to go tell the authorities, this man raised someone from the dead. You need to kill him. He can't go around raising people from the dead. Weeping. Knowing that they could not see the scriptures being fulfilled before their eyes. And God weeping as the many, many wars continue on, like the war in Syria that we're fighting with our soldiers. Did you know that? It's astonishing to me that there is a full-on fighting war with our troops in combat, and it's not in the news. Never ever think that on a national basis there's a free media. Please never convince yourself of that. We can go back to the political, I guess. We can go to our very Christian, you know, he's a stout, very, very observant Catholic, Joe Biden. Very. In all actuality, of course, he has excommunicated himself many, many times from the Catholic Church. Then full-time grifter without an office to sell to foreign countries, Joe Biden spoke about someone starting a war with Iran.
A president who says he wants to end endless wars in the Middle East, is bringing us dangerously close to starting a brand new one. Donald Trump's short-sighted America First dogmatism has come home to roost. President Trump has no strategy here, it seems to me. He has no end game. And here's the hardest truth of all. His constant mistakes and poor decision-making have left us, the United States, with a severely limited slate of options. We are alone now. We're alone and we'll have to bear the cost of Donald Trump's folly. He should stop tweeting so he doesn't box us in with these threats that such that only options left for Iran are increasingly damaging strikes and counterstrikes. No one wants war, but it's going to take hard work to make sure we don't end up there by accident. Democracy runs on accountability, and nowhere is it more important than the power to make war and bring peace. You're required to work with Congress, Mr. President. You're required to abide by the War Powers Resolution, Mr. President. And you cannot pursue war with Iran without consent and authority from Congress.
President Trump had suggested taking out Soleimani. And Biden rushed to make that statement. It's breathtaking to listen to Joe Biden say, democracies run on accountability. It's breathtaking. A man who's had his own legal bills paid by his campaign and whose mechanisms are suing Donald Trump for a similar thing, raising money to take Joe Biden's legal bills off his back. Democracy runs on accountability. This same Joe Biden who helped push Vladimir Putin into entering Ukraine, attacking it, he did. He did exactly what he said would cause Putin to do that. Exactly. That was to allow chatter as to making Ukraine part of NATO. See, my views on war have changed. Perhaps it's because we don't have a commander-in-chief. Perhaps it's because we're funding both sides of things. Perhaps it's because I'm observing us moving nations towards war. Perhaps it's because I've begun to think of things biblically. Jesus wept. You're going to do this again? God knows we're going to do it again. By the way, this is what President Trump said. Did this start a war?
Do you think Islam is at war with the West?
I think Islam hates us. There's something there that there's a tremendous hatred there. There's a tremendous hatred. We have to get to the bottom of it. There is an unbelievable hatred of us.
In Islam itself?
You're going to have to figure that out, okay? You'll get another Pulitzer, right? But you're going to have to figure that out. But there is a tremendous hatred. And we have to be very vigilant. We have to be very careful. And we can't allow people coming into this country who have this hatred of the United States.
I guess the question is,
and of people that are not Muslim.
I guess the question is there a war between the West and radical Islam, or is there a war between the West and Islam
itself? It's radical, but it's very hard to define. It's very hard to separate because you don't know who's who.
Radical Islam and Islam are one. There are people who are Islamic who are peaceful. And they are, well, they do good things and they're kind. They're following a false faith and therefore separated from God. And that's horribly sad. We should pray for them and reach out to them. And 83% of Muslims worldwide, or so, it's about that number, believe you should be killed for leaving the faith. Islam is a radical faith. It is a violent faith. And countries like Iran that stick close to that have become violent countries. And the people who live under those regimes, they suffer most of all. So as we pray for the people of Israel, let us also pray for the people held captive in Iran by that theocracy. And remember, if Jesus wept, shouldn't we? We'll come back on The Disciples' View with some more instances of people being in the world and fully of it as we remain outside the world. That next. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Satan is a master at hiding evil within good. You know, the masquerading as an angel of light thing. When I was a young man and had gotten my first paying job in radio, prior to that, I'd been just existing upon advertising I sold and doing a share with the station owner, dear friend of mine, Tom. Became a friend, didn't know him when I got and went and made that deal. I got 35% of what he sold on my show, specifically on my show. I got to get 65% of what I sold on my show. I got my first paid job in radio and decided to become infamous. Those were the days in talk radio, FM-style talk radio. Now, I was not a Howard Stern or anything like that, thank God, but I had made an idol of my freedom. All forms of it. And so I merchandised that to young people. And I've apologized. I've taken this to the cross. I talk about this in detail on my podcast this week on a program that will air on Wednesday. I call it The Accidental Satanist. It's pretty in-depth as to how far from God I was and things I did that were prideful and, in fact, just slapping God in the face. And God, of course, will not be mocked. But it started with a concern for freedom. Conservative, you know. Government should not do these things. I'm still conservative. I'm a Christian constitutional populist, in that order. Christian constitutional populist. Godly things. I believe the Constitution is inspired by God. And populist because I don't think we're going to get these changes out of D.C. Populism is very dangerous. That's why I tie the three together. I do not support populism without the other two, the Christian faith driving it and the Constitution respecting the Christian faith. Not to establish a theocracy. Theocracies can't be Christian. Not if they're by force. Not if the theocracy allows the government to say you will follow the faith because Jesus never did that, never used force. That's an out-of-the-world form of thinking, I think. It's a spiritual form of thinking. It's an eternal way of thinking. When I was young and given this infamy and this local fame, it was fun. Man, I was a defender of everybody's freedom. I was like an angel of light. When people make idols out of things they ought not, you'll find that there's no bottom to this. I found nothing I wouldn't defend if it was freedom. I found myself sometimes on my show having to take positions to be, quote, intellectually consistent. Where I'd have to think, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. But if I'm into freedom, I thanked God this morning as we were recording that podcast for rescuing me from myself. That whole show called The Accidental Satanist will air on Wednesday. You can subscribe to all my podcasts. So easy. Just go to thetoddhermanshow.com. Super easy to subscribe and you'll get that. That's in video too at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. There are people demonstrating for us right before our eyes that they're absolutely of the world. And I think that they worship freedom. They don't yet understand that true freedom is acting in line with God's will. Isn't that a strange conundrum? It really is a very strange conundrum. True freedom is surrender. Well, true freedom means you'll never be in jail again. Right? That's what true freedom means. An eternity with God is true freedom. And the more we turn to God in our daily lives, the more free we are from the handcuffs of sin. I'm hardly the first to use that metaphor. A Democrat attorney general named Kristen Mays is the statewide attorney general, the top law enforcement official for the state of Arizona, except she's not. She's not the statewide law enforcement official, far from it. She worships freedom. Hers. And that of women who want to have abortions. Now, women who face abortions, women who've had them, the Lord Jesus is anxious to forgive you for that. He is. something you can take to the cross. I can't imagine the turmoil of going through with that and thinking through it and having to do it, and or not having to, but choosing to do it. I can't imagine how painful that was for you. I can't, because I can't know what it is to carry life in my body. Men can't do that. So I want to say that out front. And when we talk about wanting to ban abortion, we want to also recognize the choices that you have leading up to that. You have the choice to date or not. You have the choice to marry or not. You have the choice to be sexually active or not. You have the choice to use contraception or not, or contraceptive techniques or not. All those choices are yours, which is why it's so hard when we get to the topic of rape and incest, so hard for people. And that's life. Those are little lives. So this Democrat attorney general in Arizona announced on Tuesday that she will not enforce a ruling from her state's Supreme Court upholding an 1864 law that bans most abortions. Let's follow this. She calls herself the attorney general. She was elected as that. She's the statewide law enforcement official. And she said, I don't listen to Supreme Court rulings. I don't. Because my freedom matters more. She's stating right out front, there is no government. There's no law. There's no court. That's exactly what she's saying. Oh, I read her statement. It's dressed up in respect for the Constitution, but it's a lie. Arizona has a constitution. That constitution makes clear she's to do her job that she pledged to do, to carry out the laws of the land as prescribed by the legislature, created by the legislature, and now found by her Supreme Court to be in standing, to be constitutional. She is required to do this, and yet she refuses. She will not serve because her idol, abortion, is at risk. She should quit. She should resign. She should, in fact, be disbarred for refusing to do her duty as a lawyer. There are defense attorneys who don't want to defend certain clients. And there are cases where judges say, no, you've been assigned to the case. You will stay, because sometimes lawyers have to take cases with defendants they don't like. Sometimes that happens. This woman is very much of the world. And yet she wants to dress things up as constitutional ease. She's worshiping her freedom. And I think this is becoming accidentally satanic. I'm not saying she's dancing around in weird satanic symbols or in some ceremony. I'm not saying she's wearing a baphomet around her neck. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying that she is, I think, accidentally doing the will of Satan. Accidentally. If you go from Arizona to Seattle, I cannot adequately tell people how utterly fallen a place that is. People hear about it, but they don't really understand how fallen it is, despite my very best efforts. Why even talk about it? Because if we are not watchful on our side of things, if we are not the watchman on the tower, if we're not warning people, can you tell them in Ezekiel talking about the watchman on the tower? If we're not warning people about the consequences of their actions, you will see your town become more like this. This is a collection of stories from The Brew. This comes from stream.org. This is old world Seattle to me. There's a thing called the Emerald City Hoedown. So it's a country music type. Ironic, by the way, country music type thing in Seattle, where there is an organization that's LGB so-called T. And they want to put on this thing to own country music. You'll notice, of course, that last week we talked about the new take on Jolene by Queen Bey, Beyonce. Her new take on Jolene, the Dolly Parton's great song. See, there's an effort now to drive LGB DEI into country music, because all institutions must fall. So the Emerald City Hoedown has been created. Well, a group called the Borderline Dance Team signed up. Why not? Let's go dance in downtown Seattle. Then they put their pictures up. Young people in American flag-themed apparel. Well, the organizers said they felt triggered and unsafe. So they gave them an ultimatum. No patriotic clothes, street clothes, or you don't perform. So they said, okay, we won't perform. And another group dropped out. oh, they still had the hoedown. Well, that's just patriotism. I mean, that's just country. That's not God. That's just country. Okay. Friend of mine and former colleague Jason Rantz had a gentleman named Pastor Russell Johnson of the Pursuit Northwest Church on his program. He had contracted to spend $18,000 to run an ad during Passion Week. And it was scheduled to run in the newspaper. Something incredible happened. They said no. He told my friend Jason, you know, they told us it didn't really fit with the ethic of the paper. Well, here's what's so fascinating. The marketing team said, according to this pastor, the marketing team told him that in all the years they've been doing advertising for the Seattle Times, never once had it happened where the owner and CEO personally stepped in at the last minute to cancel a signed contract. That man's name is Frank Blethyn. He's part of the family of Blethyns who own the Seattle Times. He's inherited that position. Frank Blethyn is a guy who sold the Seattle Times COVID coverage to Bill Gates. He bragged about it. In an article in an organization that covers media for media, he talked about these new revenue models where groups like the Gates Foundation can step in and underwrite coverage for things like COVID and climate. But it would never, ever, ever change their coverage, right? He said this to Post Alley, is the name of the publication that covered this. So Frank Blethyn would not let an ad from a church run during Passion Week. This is the same newspaper, the same one, that celebrated a terrorist group seizing six blocks of downtown Seattle, where they physically and sexually assaulted a pastor who carried a cross through. True story. A pastor simply wanted to carry the cross of Christ through that chop zone, and they grabbed his genitalia and they beat him. Wow. If that's not biblical, what is? These people have put their freedom, freedom of the flesh, freedom of the ego, freedom of desire, freedom to covet, freedom to control, far above God. In Ezekiel, and I'm going to forget the chapter, we are told that if a society appoints a watchman at the tower, and the watchman at the tower sees an attack coming, it's the watchman's job to warn the town. The watchman is to say, they're coming with swords, protect yourselves. And if he does that, the watchman at the tower does that, and these people go, never mind. I'm not going to protect myself. And they're killed. He's okay with God. Their blood is on their own heads. But if the watchman at the tower sees the attack coming and chooses not to tell people, well, the iniquity of the people who are being attacked is their problem. And God has a problem with a watchman who remains silent. I'm not saying I'm a watchman. I don't know that I've been appointed that role, but I know this. The Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples. That would involve watchman type activity, wouldn't it? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So in this fallen city of Seattle, an ad, $18,000 from a church cannot run because the CEO of the Seattle Times says it does not fit with the ethic of the paper. Oh, you bet it doesn't, because it's a godless paper. It's become that. It's a paper that pretended, literally pretended, there was no pornographic, perverse sex ed being debated in the schools. They literally pretended that. They literally pretended to not know about the gender jacking, the chemical and surgical mutilation of children. They literally pretended they didn't know. They literally hid that from people. This man bragged about selling the coverage of important topics like the so-called transing of kids to organizations interested in it. Remarkable. Some count on chariots and horses. Some count on paychecks. One more example. In Sammamish, Washington, which is an otherwise pretty sane part of that part of the state, Creekside Elementary School denied two students' requests to create an interfaith prayer club. They'd already allowed, of course, dozens of groups, including pride groups, to form. The first Liberty Institute's on the case, and they're violating, told the school they're violating the First Amendment religious freedoms of those two 11-year-olds trying to form the club, but we can't have that there. It is breathtaking if you step back for a moment and think of this. The city of Seattle is saying to Jesus, hey, this is ours. Don't come in here. In the words of Tom Petty, don't come around here no more. They start it with patriotism. The American flag is jingoistic, makes people feel unsafe. It's an assault against the BIPOCs. And they extend it to God. And now you have a state so fallen that even the newspaper says, the CEO right out front, talking about the Christian faith during Easter week does not fit the ethic of the paper. And Jesus is not allowed here. Crazy thing that they should probably pay attention to is that Jesus doesn't need to respect their geographic boundaries. He is Lord of the universe. Oh, and by the way, when he moves back into town on Judgment Day, I wonder if the Seattle Times will report it or maybe pretend it's not happening. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. Thanks for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I will probably talk later this week. I'm doing the research on this, about this this couple whose son went out and committed a school shooting. And this phrase, north of Detroit, really hit me hard. North of Detroit. You probably remember this because it was, of course, all over the media. I guess as it should be. I have frustration sometimes that they don't, in fact, in any serious way, look into the gang shootings. It takes so many lives. But every time there is an event like this, they want to focus on it. I tend to think because it scares people. Because you could think, well, there, that could happen to me. That could happen at any school. It could happen at any mall. Well, it could. Anything can happen. The odds of it happening are extraordinarily low. You're probably more likely to be killed by lightning. And it's very scary to people who choose to live in fear. The Lord does not give us a spirit of fear. But James Crumbly and his wife Jennifer have been sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. And they made some horrible parenting decisions. Horrible. They strike me as deeply, deeply fallen people. Very sad. Perhaps sociopathic. I'm not a psychiatrist or psychologist. I can look at their behaviors, though. Her husband, James Crumbly, kind of rhetorically attacked the victims' families during the trial, this closing statement. Very bizarre choice. And it apparently decided to purchase his deeply disturbed son a pistol and then pretended it was for him. Very strange actions. So they're being sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. It happened north of Detroit. The reason that bothered me so much is because so many killings going on in Detroit that are gang-related, and those parents make mistakes too. I'm not saying let's go after all the parents. I'm saying, are we going after parents now or not? The case of Dexter Reed happened near Detroit in Chicago. You remember Dexter Reed? So Dexter Reed was in a car, pulled over. He was a black man. He made the decision to not follow the commands of apparently a white female officer. If you've seen the video, man, it's horrific. There are some nearly 100 gunshots. Dexter Reed apparently had a weapon. He absolutely, according to the video I've watched, refused to take directions from the police officer, was rolling up his window. She said to not roll up your window. He decided to do it anyway and apparently then produced a weapon. And he's dead. The media is doing something that they don't really think they can get away with. Do they really think this? They're running pictures of Dexter Reed from his high school graduation, one of the happiest days of his life. There with his family and apparently looks like a pregnant young woman. They did not run a current picture of him from his last arrest where he's 26 years old, 5 months before he was killed. Which one is more newsworthy? Which one has an emotional reason for placing it there? Does this work? Yes. What this does is causes more young black men to panic when they're pulled over by cops. News organizations worship their intelligence. Not all of them, but many people there, their intelligence. We know what's right for people. We're going to twist the truth just a little bit. We're going to tell the story in just a little bit different way. We need an emotional connection. We need people to hurt for Dexter Reed. I can hurt for Dexter Reed. I can hurt for his mom, who's beside herself in agony. Of course she is. She's convinced that her son was doing nothing wrong and that they just murdered him, but that's not what the video shows. I can hurt for her. So can you. God weeps for them. Jesus weeps. I don't need the emotional picture. He was a good kid. He'd become a wayward person. This attempt by the media to humanize him. He was human. To make him a sympathetic figure. It has the exact opposite result of their intent. Young black people see this headline or they see it on news or they see it on social media. Wow, they killed that clean, good-looking kid. Well, yeah, that's an old picture. He was making some horrible decisions and it ended in a horrible fate. And the police could choose to ignore the gun. And they're the ones who don't go home. There's so much in our world, so manipulative, so behind the scenes, that we need to place our feet firmly on the foundation of God's word and say, yes, we can have great feelings of horror and sympathy and sadness for a case like that at the same time that we can look at the lies that the media wants to tell us about that. At the top of society, right now, God has allowed a lot of people to stand up there who really think they're super wise. So in this program, we thank the Lord for placing these supposedly wise people on these tall towers that just happen to be made of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
There's three sound bites that I think show that God does this, places these people on these areas of great influence so we could admire their human wisdom and then really just look at it and say, wow, they're not that wise at all. Do you remember Qasem Soleimani, who was an Iranian military official? President Trump had at one point floated the idea of taking him out, and figurehead Biden leapt into action. And at some point, some reporter in D.C. must ask the figurehead if he regrets saying it was Trump who would be starting wars.
A president who says he wants to end endless wars in the Middle East is bringing us dangerously close to starting a brand new one. Donald Trump, short-sighted America First dogmatism, has come home to roost. President Trump has no strategy here, it seems to me. He has no end game. And here's the hardest truth of all. His constant mistakes and poor decision-making have left us, the United States, with a severely limited slate of options. We are alone now. We're alone and we'll have to bear the cost of Donald Trump's folly. He should stop tweeting so he doesn't box us in with these threats that such that only options left for Iran are increasingly damaging strikes and counterstrikes. No one wants war, but it's going to take hard work to make sure we don't end up there by accident. Democracy runs on accountability. And nowhere is it more important than the power to make war and bring peace. You're required to work with Congress, Mr. President. You're required to abide by the War Powers Resolution, Mr. President. And you cannot pursue war with Iran without consent and authority from Congress.
You can't, but I can. That's what the figurehead appears to be saying. And of course, the wars started under the figurehead's watch. It was zero for President Trump. It's how many now? Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. At some point, some reporter in D.C.'s got to ask the figurehead spokesliar, John Kirby, if he would stop pretending we've been forced to pay for Iran's missiles.
John, what is the status of the $6 billion that Iran was set to have access to?
It's still sitting in the Qatari bank, all of it. Every dime of it.
Is there an agreement now to, in essence, withhold it from Iran should they come asking for it?
None of that money has been spent, and I have no updates to provide today.
Was the decision to reach a quiet understanding with Qatar about whether or not it would be accessed by Iran made because of the attack or political pressure recently?
I'm not going to talk about diplomatic conversations one way or another, Ed. What I can tell you is that every single dime of that money is still sitting in the Qatari bank. Not one of it, not one dime of it has been spent.
Well, really? What about the many, many dimes, the hundreds of billions of dollars Barack Obama gave to Iran? Why again? Why again? And the money we've been given to Hamas. Hamas is Iran. Oh, it's just aid. Okay, so we give them aid and they can feed their soldiers on our money and take their money and redirect it towards weapons. Money is always fungible. Always. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. At some point, some reporter in D.C.'s got to ask everyone who runs the figurehead if they have any capacity to feel shame given their cover-up of Biden's legal fees being paid by his donors.
President Biden's legal fees in the classified documents probe were paid for by campaign donations. That's according to Axios. The DNC reportedly paid more than $1.5 million to lawyers or firms representing the president. Biden's campaign has recently attacked President Trump for spending his campaign funds on legal fees.
It's all old DC. It's all as old as politics itself. And it's easy enough for the media, if they chose to do it, to say that. But sometimes people worship their own intelligence, their own desire, rather than simply just speaking truth as best they can. In most of those instances that we just went through, it's not even an attempt to speak truth. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in
On a Disciple's View.
We wrap the show up often with a personal observation from me. And it's just my way of sharing with you who I am. You invest time in listening to the program. Therefore, you know something about the rodeo clown who sits behind the mic. You know that we're what's called a trauma family. That's a label I don't wear because God can fix all things. You know about the contours of what our daughter went through. I've never told you the specific thing because it's her decision to speak about what was done to her or not. And one day I hope that she will because God has equipped her to really help people. One of the things that was stolen from our daughter was something that she and I practiced from the time that she could hold a pencil. We had a routine. Very often we would sit at the kitchen table and we would draw. And of course, I drew better than she did at the time because I was an adult. But as she grew, she became such a tremendously gifted artist on every possible medium. When we were drawing together at one time, when she was a little kid, she scribbled. Just scribbled on a piece of paper, just junk. And she brought it to me and she said, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Oh, I believe you can do better." She said, "Nope, that's the best I can do." I said, "I don't care for it as much as your other drawings." And then she went and spent a lot of time on it. Brought back, "What do you think of this?" I said, "I like that. Tell me about it." It's terrible. My daughter's a contrarian. But she was also testing me. She admitted this later. She was testing me to see if I really liked her good drawings, or if I was just doing it because I'm daddy and daddy loves her. During the trauma period, that was stolen from her. The creation of art. She wrote diary entries that were beautiful and painful and so difficult for us to hear. She stopped drawing altogether. I hate it. I hate drawing. I'm not good at it, plus I hate it. I want to be a truck driver. I want to join the army. I want to work in a moving company and move people's houses. Anything but who she was. God gave her a love of art in all forms. I'll never forget the little miniature city she made. Friends, it was phenomenal. She crafted little tiny spoons out of paper to put in people's hands. It had hundreds of characters, hundreds of background scenes, and you could look at it and make sense of everything. It took her weeks. As she started to lift from the trauma and the work my wife has done, God bless my wife, getting her off of the harmful antidepressant stews and anti-anxiety stews and sleep medicine stews that we, in our fear, not trusting God, allowed them to put her on. She sat with me the other night and showed me some of the work she's doing in art college. There it was. Sitting next to her again, looking at drawings, and she said something to me. Do you remember you once drew a cougar for me? It was the best cougar you ever drew. I said, yes, I do remember that. You really do? I still have the drawing. You do? Mm-hmm. Why would you keep that? Because you loved it. I can go get it for you. So I did. And it was her turn to hold something. I said, what do you think of that? She goes, I love it. I go, is it as well done as you remember? Well, she said, it's really well done, Dad. But then again, I am in art school. I loved it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, because we believe, we speak, because He first loved us. We speak His Word to walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations until we speak again. Until God gives us that permission, may His peace, which surpasses all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.